1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon sitting in for Joe this week. 51551 is our text number. Now, over the weekend, anti-abortion protesters staged a demonstration outside the National Maternity Hospital in Holles Street in Dublin city centre. I'm looking at a photograph of that protest right now. All the protesters are standing there quietly with their posters. But the most striking thing about this photo is that there are three tiny white coffins on the pavement outside the National Maternity Hospital. Lindsay, you're familiar with Holles Street.
I am indeed, yeah. I'm a patient with them actually at the minute. We're having our second baby with them, so...
Oh, congratulations, Lindsay.
Thanks very much.
So, did you see the photos? Are you aware of what this protest was about?
Yeah, I actually seen it. It's quite horrific, I suppose. Like, my first... Well, we were expecting our first baby. We actually had a miscarriage and we had been dealing with the Coombe, and we actually went to Holles Street from the Coombe, and like, to have to go through that, that's not something you want to walk out of the hospital and see.
Yeah, I can imagine you're in a very traumatised state if you have just been given that news, or if you've just gone through that horrific event, and you're saying that if you walked out onto the street and saw babies' coffins basically on the street.
Exactly, like, because like most women that do go through the loss of a baby, they're leaving the hospital empty-handed. You know, you don't get that kind of closure, I suppose.
And tell me about your own story, if you can, Lindsay. How long ago was this?
This was August 2016, and we were 10 weeks pregnant. And we just, that day, just kind of a small bit of bleeding, and we went to the Coombe, and the Coombe sent us home and told us to come back in a week. And that night it got kind of worse, as you suppose, and we went back up and we were left sitting there from 9 o'clock till 12:30 and not seeing a doctor. We seen a little triage nurse who wasn't the nicest person, now, to be fair. And we were left sitting there and I was in absolute agony. So we left and we went to Holles Street. And Holles Street gave us the most fantastic care. They looked after us for 6 weeks afterwards. And, you know, it's... to have the staff that show you, I suppose, the compassion and everything, it is lovely. But I wouldn't have been able to walk out of the hospital and see something like that.
Indeed. And I think, I suppose, we all know as well that there are so many women go through this in their lives, in their childbearing years.
Exactly. I suppose it doesn't matter what side you're on, whether you're pro-life or you're pro-choice or whatever. Sometimes you don't have a choice.
Now, of course, the people who were supporting this protest will say that it was a peaceful vigil, that they weren't interfering with anyone. What would you say to that?
Well, like, they are interfering. Like, nobody knows what a woman is going through when they walk in them hospital doors. Like, some are just going in for their normal appointments just to get their checkups and everything else. Others are not going in for good news. You know, and, like, I think they kind of have to take a step back and put themselves in that position. Like, how would they feel if it was their partner, their wife, their sister, their daughter to have to go through something? Like, and if it's a decision that you have to make, like, you're going to make what's the decision that's best for you and for your child, no matter what. But it's not a place to do it. Like, we're all entitled to our opinions, and, like, everybody out there has their own opinion of this situation. But I don't think doing it right on the steps of a maternity hospital is the place to do it.
Okay, stay with us, Lindsay. I want to go to Sheila. Sheila, you saw the photographs of this protest. What did you make of it?
Katie, I couldn't believe that a woman could have anything to do with this protest. And I had a similar experience to the previous caller, but it was 42 years ago. And I came out of the hospital like she did, feeling awful. And if I thought I would have to see something like two small coffins on the pavement as I turned around the corner from Holles Street, it would be just unbearable. I really can't imagine any woman with any sensitivity being involved or having anything to do with a protest like that.
Well, I'm looking at the photograph here in front of me, Sheila, and that there are women of all ages involved in this protest. Some of them are kneeling, some of them are standing there quietly holding posters. I mean, they will say that this is a huge issue for them, and this is their way of making their point.
there are ways of making a point, but do they not consider the sensitivities of women who are coming out of that hospital? And in my case, it was a miscarriage. And I know they're quite common, miscarriages are quite common, but it still is a very traumatic event for any woman, no matter how common they are. But to think that any woman could expose other women to an experience like that after having walked out after a miscarriage, and never mind a miscarriage, some women walked out of that hospital and their babies had died.
Indeed, because there will be stillbirths.
There
will be
a coffin outside the door. It just doesn't bear thinking that another woman could do that to another, you know, to another woman.
Stay with us, Sheila. Grace.
How are you doing, baby?
You were actually born in Holles Street yourself.
I was 30 in a week or two, and Dr. Peter Boylan was actually my mother's obstetrician at the time, so that's kind of how close I am to it.
You saw this photograph as well. Are you actually, you work close to Holles Street?
I work around the corner, yeah, and to be honest, I didn't see the protest directly on Saturday, but I saw photos of it certainly.
I mean, it was clearly designed to be provocative, those white
absolutely,
coffins.
Absolutely, Katie. And unfortunately, I'm a firm believer in peaceful protest for anybody, but the MO of these kind of extreme groups seems to be viewed, well, you know, certainly during the referendum, this kind of disgusting imagery and photos, and, you know, there's a question over the source of those. But then to move on... To put on this kind of display, it's just an absolute disgrace. I mean, aside from terminations, which over 67% of the country voted in favour of bringing this in, women and families go through that door for a number of reasons, miscarriages, some very, very sick babies. You know, there could be women going in there to be told that they've cervical cancer. And, you know, there's absolutely no thought given to that at all.
Yeah, there's no doubt that women will be going in and coming out of Holles Street in very different frames of mind.
Absolutely, and I'm completely pro. Like I said, I'm a believer in peaceful protest. And, you know, I do have some empathy for these protesters. I mean, they do feel so strongly about what's happening, and they do need to have some sort of a space to express their views. You know, but I think somewhere else, you know, there needs to be some sort of a buffer zone put in. If they want to do a vigil, can they not have it in a church? You know, can they not have it elsewhere?
Yes, of course, there was a big debate, and there was promises that there would be exclusion zones around, you know, places where terminations would be done. But there seems to have been some legal obstacles to getting that in place. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think certainly for the protection of anybody going inside. And, like, I mean, the thing I'd like to put to any of these groups is what exactly is it they're hoping to achieve by this? You know, do they hope for a second referendum? Are they just hoping to shame people out of going in the first place, or that women will change their minds going in? And, you know, what gives them the right to do that?
Stay with us, Grace. Vanessa, you spent some time in a maternity hospital for a very particular reason.
Yeah, that's right. My son was born at 29 weeks premature, just over 5 years ago.
Oh. And then how much did he weigh at 29 weeks, Vanessa?
He weighed 2 pounds 14 ounces, or 1.336 kilos. Oh. So he was teeny tiny.
So he would have spent a long time in special care then?
He was 9 weeks. He was in the neonatal unit, yeah.
And I've been there myself, Vanessa. I know, you know, how terrifying that experience can be, and how scary. What brought you on the line to talk about this particular protest?
I'd seen the protest on Twitter, and I just had tweeted about my experience and how distressing it would have been for me personally to see the baby coffins on the ground. You know, regardless of anything else, the signs or anything that they had, just that imagery would have really distressed me personally. Like, as somebody who had a tiny baby who was, you know, fighting to be alive, and I just think that's hugely inappropriate. As the other lady was saying, obviously they're well within their rights to protest. I am a firm believer in peaceful protest, but again, not in front of a maternity hospital where there are women with all kinds of reasons to go into, you know.
I think a lot of people don't really appreciate what life is like in those special care units, and when your baby's ends up in a special care unit or in intensive care, particularly when they're tiny preemie babies.
Yeah.
It's a very, very traumatic time, isn't it?
Absolutely. That doesn't even cover it, really. I can't even... 5 years later, I'm still quite traumatised by the experience, to be honest.
42 years later.
It was stressful beyond belief. Just constant worry. You know, he is my only child, my first child. So, you know, the stress and the not knowing of being a first time mother, on top of not knowing if your baby is going to survive, and is just.
And your baby is attached to all those tubes, all those monitoring equipment.
Yeah.
There's alarms going off all the time. It's a very, very scary environment to be thrust into.
It is. And, you know, every day there was something different, you know, especially in the early weeks, you know, where he was on breathing support until he was 6 weeks old. He got a staph infection. He had to have a blood transfusion. It was just a really, really stressful time. I left, you know, and even when there was good days, I had to leave him every day and go home because there isn't a facility for the parents to stay with the babies. So just the fact of having to leave my tiny baby, I left in tears most days, like, to go home.
Because you worried what's going to happen to him while you were away.
Yeah, and just being lonely and, you know, missing him. So
you're putting yourself back in that world and thinking, what would it have been like to walk out of the hospital in that state and see that protest?
Yeah, I actually remember seeing a woman carrying a baby coffin up the hall one day, obviously had the unimaginable happen, like, and just being so distraught at the thought of what could happen, you know. So to see people standing outside the hospital with, you know, pretend baby coffins just would have been too much for me personally. And I think, I don't know, I just don't think it's a reasonable way of protesting.
Yeah, Sheila, you were saying there that Vanessa's saying 5 years on, she's still deeply traumatised by that experience. You're saying 42 years on. You're still traumatised.
Well, I'm traumatised, but, I mean, it's just that this thing brought it all back, Katie. Mm. Something that I had certainly got well over, you know, it's a long time ago. But to think that a woman in my position today would walk out of that hospital and be confronted with that outside the door. I think, I wonder if any of the women outside that hospital ever had a miscarriage. Were they men or women or what was the make? I didn't see the photograph.
I'm looking at it. It's a mixed group, Sheila. There's men, there's women, there's older people, younger people. You know, there's quite a few people at that protest.
Like, men who never had a pregnancy, never mind one that ended up in a miscarriage, never mind an unwanted one.
Mind you, I'm sure there's plenty of men out there, Sheila, whose partners went through this and would have been very, very traumatised by these experiences themselves.
Well. Yeah, yeah. And imagine a man walking out of there and his wife, you know, struggling to hold on to her baby maybe in the hospital and see these two coffins outside the door. It just doesn't. I mean, it's a new low, really. I can't believe that, as I said, that any group would stoop so low.
Lindsay, if you're still with us, your very traumatic experience is quite recent.
It is, yeah.
What would you say to the people who were inspired to put on this protest?
Like, there's no need for it. There really isn't. Like, we all, as I said before, we're all entitled to our own opinion. It's just the way you go about it. Like, I think everybody is so quick to jump to social media and to protest now. I think we protest nearly for everything that goes on. You don't do it where a woman is feeling vulnerable, where they're going through grief, where they're angry, where they're numb. They walk out and this is the first thing that they see. Like, keep, like, okay, you don't have to keep it to yourself, but there are other ways of going about it. You don't need to take it to the street. You don't need to put it in people's faces. Like, we've all gone through stuff. I'm not the only person to have gone through it. And I won't be the last person to have gone through it. But there are ways to get your point across and to stand outside a maternity hospital when you don't know what a woman is going through. That's not the right way to go about it.
Okay, Lindsay. Lydia, are you with us, Lydia? Have we got Lydia on the line? I think we might just have lost her. I'll go back to you, Vanessa. And your little boy now is 5?
Yeah, he's 5, yeah. Just about to start primary school.
How is he doing?
He's great. He's absolutely fine. We were just standing outside the barber's there while I'm talking to you while he's getting his hair cut. He's just perfect. He's absolutely no residual effects of prematurity that we know of. So we're very, very lucky.
I often think that, because as I say, I was through it myself, and there were photos, it was in the rotunda, and there was photos up around the special care unit of babies, very, very sick babies, very tiny babies, and then photos of them as 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And it was, I think it was a great thing to have there, because it gives everyone hope, because you can't imagine, you know, when your baby is that tiny, that they're going to make it and, you know, grow up and have a normal life.
That's true. There was a few times while we were in the NEO that people came in with their children who had grown up after being in there. And it does give you hope that everything will be okay.
And your little boy is giving everyone hope now that you're describing him having his hair cut for his starting school.
Getting ready for school, yeah.
Thank you for that, Vanessa. I'm going to David now.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
David, you had a horrific situation.
Yeah, look, I'm going to try and hold it together. I mean, 16 years on, and it still doesn't get any better. And anybody who had ever been in a position where they had to carry a baby in a white coffin wouldn't resort to such shock tactics as these people have done. And that's what it is. It is shock tactics.
Tell us your story, David, if you can.
Well, our story is everything seemed to be going on fine. We were 26, 27 weeks, and my wife just wasn't feeling that something was right, so I got a phone call at work, so I more or less dropped everything and came back to Thurles, collect my wife, and drove to Kilkenny. I have to say, St. Luke's and Kilkenny were exceptional, but look, we were told in fairly short order, got in for a scan immediately, that there was no heartbeat. I have to say, that was the worst part of it, was that despite how well I felt that we were treated in St. Luke's, the surrealness of being told, we're not going to do a DNC. We're not going to induce a birth on the child, even though it is stillborn. So go home and come back next week, and we'll see if anything has moved on. So, like I said, myself and my wife walking around Kilkenny City that day, knowing that, you know, the baby was gone, was just horrible. It's cruel.
That is horrific, cool. David, horrific.
Cool. Now, as it was, I suppose to an extent, we were lucky, because when we got back to Thurles, my wife's waters broke that night and she went into labour, so we were back in and she delivered the baby normally, except, of course, stillborn. And like I said, that day or the day after, I walked down the back stairs in the hospital where no one else could see it, because it's a busy maternity hospital as well as just being a general hospital. And the staff are very cognizant that there are other mothers in there going through the same thing, and other mothers who are looking forward to walking out with perfectly healthy babies. And no one wants to see that. It's just disgraceful that somebody who claims to care about life would resort to this.
So you're saying in your own situation and at the most horrific, tragic situation, there was an awareness in the maternity hospital that this coffin that you had to bring for your own baby, that you were not going to let other
Absolutely.
Expectant mothers to be exposed
Absolutely.
To this.
Yeah, it was traumatising. Or was likely to be traumatising. How could it not be? I mean, a coffin has only one purpose.
And I suppose there is nothing quite as shocking and as difficult to see as a baby's coffin, as a child's
coffin. You're not supposed to bury your children. It's supposed to be the other way around.
David, I'm going to let you take a breath there.
That's fine. Yeah,
I'll let you take a breath there. I'll go to John. John, you agree with the pro-life cause. You support the pro-life movement, but you didn't agree with how they went about their business this weekend.
No, I'm 100% sympathy goes out to that gentleman there. It must be horrific. I can't even understand what he has gone through over the years. And my total sympathy to him or anyone. Look, I'm 100% pro-life. I fought it boot and nail here on Cork. Must have knocked on every door. Went on all the marches again last week. Spoke out at rallies and everything. Done everything I possibly could. Fought it out in radio discussions, just like your good self here. But look, I wish these people would stop here now because this is wrong. Because there are people going in there which has been said, Katie, like that. Look, they've had genuine miscarriages, they've had problems, and I mean, children, unfortunately, have passed away. Huge trauma for all the family, not only the mother, father, grandparents, brothers, sisters, siblings, the whole lot. And it's not the way to go to be having white coffins down the ground outside of my family hospital. Look, I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't endorse this, and I wish they'd stop. Now, what this has brought up, this idea of Simon Harris and the exclusion orders again, the zones, they call them, they have them in Ealing in England and places like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I guarantee you, Katie, what you're discussing today will possibly take up a week of Liveline if he dares to go there. Because I know from speaking from people who are in the pro-life, I personally won't go to the maternity hospital, but what's happening today and other weeks, it will happen more and more. Every constituency office belongs to every minister will be picking this. And not alone that, I think Mr. Harris himself, which going back a few months ago, if you remember, there was an encampment outside his house in the weekend in Wexford. I think he will have a permanent encampment outside there. People will just go to war within the pro-life if he dares to go there with the exclusion zone. Because you must remember, Katie, you see, there's a mindset out there.
I take it, John, you wouldn't support that either, would you?
Well, look, I'll be honest with you, I've no time for Simon Harris because anyone, and backed up by my fellow Cockman, Jeremy Hall Martin, who stood up in the
Now, John, everyone has opinions about ministers and politicians in general, but I'm saying, would you support a pro-life protest outside a minister's home, particularly in the case of Simon Harris, where there was a small baby, as I recall, involved?
Well, I mean, if he dares to bring in the exclusion zones, I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. Because there's 723,000 people voted no. That's a sizable chunk of the Irish electorate. And we have been totally ignored. If you dare even speak now sometimes, I mean, dealing with today. But I mean, no, it's in fairness. Like, even if you bring up pro-life now...
But where do you draw the line, John, is what I'm saying. Would you support a protest at the minister's house but not a protest at a maternity hospital? Or would you support a protest at a maternity hospital but not one that involves something as provocative as coffins?
Well, I just wouldn't appear outside any maternity hospitals, I'll be honest. No, if they're... Which has come up as well today in your program.
But do you think a minister's house is fair game?
Oh, definitely, like, and if there's private clinics comes in here, I personally will be outside there, and other people here on Cork, if they dare open one of those mother clinics in Cork, I will be outside there morning, noon and night.
Okay, stay with us, John. Lisa Bracken. Lisa, you were disturbed by what you saw in front of the maternity hospital in Dublin.
Hi, Katie. Yeah, I was. I believe in anyone's right to protest and freedom of speech. I'm absolutely all for that. But I think there's such a fine line between protest and violating someone's space and intimidation. I was heartbroken for any family who may have had to walk through the doors of Hollis Street. Even those, with a joyous occasion of coming out with a new baby, it's going to be disturbing one way or the other. And I think, you know, that there has to be something can be done there, maybe with An Garda Síochána, that people are being violated. You know, that it's a visual assault to look at that, Katie. It was horrendous, you know, and there was no need for it.
Well, they described it as a peaceful, or supporters of that protest described it as a simple, peaceful vigil.
Well, you know, they're well-chosen words to oversee the fact that, you know, it was horrendous. It was distasteful. It was disrespectful. It was all of the above, you know, and I absolutely would have no time or no respect for anyone who could take part in a protest like that. I felt so sorry for Annie. I mean, even, you know, people going in miscarriages, those who are trying for a baby, people walking down the street with children, you know, and children asking what are they or what's in them. I don't understand all of this. I mean, you know, everything has happened. It's done, it's signed off, it's dusted, you know, accept it. They got their chance to vote.
Excuse me, Katie, can I get in there, please?
John.
You see, here we go again this year. We should accept it. Well, I, as a pro-lifer, can't accept the taking the life of a 12-week-old child with a beating half leg. I will never accept that. And if it comes to exclusion zones, and if these clinics, private clinics, open up, like, and if I have to go up to Cork Prison for violating those, so be it, I will go to jail.
John, are you doing this in the name of a religion?
No, I'm not.
May I ask?
I've campaigned hard on this, and not once have I ever brought religion into this. This is about the law of humanity. Nobody should have the right to decide who lives,
John,
and who dies.
Are you not Catholic, though? You're not, are you not?
No, but we've done away with the death penalty. Yet now it's legal. I went to bed on New Year's Eve, and I woke up in a country the following morning that I no longer recognise.
I'm just asking you a simple question, John. Are you not Catholic, though?
Well, I am Catholic, but I mean...
You are Catholic, and would you ever now, John, go to maybe perhaps the Vatican or the Archbishop's diocese and object to the fact that many, for instance, 796 babies in tomb were put into a septic tank without the dignity of a coffin? You know?
If you're going to go talking about tomb, you know, that's a different story, because we see what happened there. I mean, that was completely grossly exaggerated.
Oh, we'll brush that under the carpet, John, and just get on with your agenda.
We're talking about 2019 now. There is no
we're
legal.
We're talking about 2019, John,
children.
Where you need to accept. You need to accept.
No, I don't
a
need to accept.
Vote.
I will
yes,
never accept
you do.
This.
There's nothing you can
no,
do,
no,
John,
no,
to
no,
change
no.
this.
I will never accept
nothing
it.
Nothing you can do to change this.
So
you
what
need
do,
to understand
do,
that.
Do you expect me, so, and the 723,000 people to leave the island I was born and to suit you, is it?
No, you don't have to go anywhere, John. I'm assuming you don't have a uterus. You're never, ever going to have to make a decision to have an abortion.
Well,
you need
to see,
respect
what I
other
is,
people.
I mightn't have a uterus, but I have the right to speak up for the unborn child who has no right to speak up for itself.
And do you ever go out and help children who are actually here and born, John, who are hungry on the streets of Ireland, you know, begging for food in 2019? Do you worry about those children who already exist?
Yes, what about those children?
Well, what do you do for them? John, with the greatest of respect, I take great umbrage to you and your kind looking down your nose.
My kind.
Excuse me, yes, you
so
and your kind.
So therefore I shouldn't
looking
even exist.
Looking down your nose at single
I know going from a human being, another citizen, now, to my kind.
Yes,
this is the
your
total,
kind.
This is the total respect now people like you give pro-lifers like me.
Now, Lisa, to be fair, John did come on to say that he was... disgusted at the idea of the coffins being introduced into the protest the idea of a protest at a maternity hospital.
Casey, it doesn't make a difference what he's disgusted with. I just think that, you know, it needs to be accepted. This is part of our country now. And it doesn't matter what John does or who objects to it. It's going to happen. Abortions are happening as we speak. And rightly so, people have a right to choose. I have three children, John. Abortion would not be my personal choice. I would not ever have went down that road.
And why was that?
But, excuse me.
Why was that?
Because I had a choice. I chose to give birth to my children.
See, this is why
so
I don't understand
choice,
people like you. You see, abortion isn't for you. So
no,
therefore you believe that you don't believe in taking the life of a child, but it's
well,
okay for another woman
to
take the life of a child.
I have a 23-year-old daughter, right? And I can tell you now, if she got pregnant via rape or, you know, consensual sex and did not want that baby, I would happily support her in her choice
to have
a termination. That's her choice. And I respect that.
Okay. Lisa and John, we're on 1850-715-815-51551 or joe@rte. Stay with us.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Or joe@rte. Karen Luby, what did you make of the protests at Holles Street this weekend?
It was an actual rally itself, and it was fantastic. Great to see so many there. But the coffins outside Holles Street, I don't agree with. Because I do think it can have an awful effect on a woman who has gone through a miscarriage or who's lost a baby, coming out to see that.
So you had no issue with a protest, but the coffins was a step too far?
No issue with the protest. Well, I appreciate some people, that is what they want to do, and I totally understand the anger and the frustration as to why these people are protesting. But I don't agree with the coffins at all.
Would you have voted no in the referendum, Karen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. God, yeah. 100% pro-life, yeah.
And have you protested yourself?
The woman's life is in danger, which we had already. So that's a different thing. We had that and I've no problem. You know, that was fine. If a woman's life is in danger, yes, absolutely. But I don't see it brought in, and I don't think people actually realise how bad it is. Like the START group, they're the pro-choice doctors, have stated that there are 800 to 900 abortions per month taking place in Ireland. That's going to be 10,000 abortions a year in Ireland. And I heard that Lady Lisa saying about rape or, you know, unconsensual sex or whatever. And I appreciate that. But of those 10,000 abortions that are going to take place in a year in Ireland, there are very few from rape.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you are you would have been fully supportive of a protest at a maternity hospital, at the National Maternity Hospital.
I'm in two minds about the protest, to be honest with you. It's not something I would do. But I understand why people are doing it. Like, pro-life people are being censored at every turn.
But what you
They're
say
not
to,
allowed voice.
But what you say to the people who said that those people at that protest who came up with that idea of this, as was called, a shock factor, that these white coffins, that they should have put themselves in the shoes of some of the women and some of the couples that may have to walk past that scene?
Yes, I lost a baby years ago. I had to walk out of Holles Street with a coffin, with my dead baby. I would not like to have seen that. It would, you know, I can understand they're doing it because abortions are taking place in Holles Street. And as I said, I understand their anger because we are being censored all the time.
But you seem to be stopping short of condemning it though, Karen.
Yes, I am. I am, because I can understand why they're doing it.
And you yourself had to leave a maternity hospital with a white coffin.
Yes. Now, I don't agree with the white coffins at all. I'm totally condemning that. No, I don't agree with that. So the actual protest, standing and praying or whatever, I don't say I have no problem with it, but I'm in two minds about it. It's not something I would do, but I understand it.
But you understand where they're coming from. Okay, stay with us, Karen. Magella.
Yeah, hi.
Where would you stand on it?
I would be absolutely on the same page as Karen, really, you know. And
you would have voted no as well, Magella, would you, in the referendum?
Absolutely. And I would be 100% pro-life.
And would you have campaigned for a no vote?
I would have. I may not have actively campaigned. I suppose I did, in that I went down radio programmes and things like that.
Well, that's fairly active, in fairness, Magella.
It is, yeah. You see, the wrong people are getting hurt by this. It's simply targeting the pro-abortion stance that Holles Street have. That's what it's targeting. It's targeting people who are going in.
But you
sure? You know, I'm not sure, like Karen, about it either. I'm not sure about targeting people outside the gate of a maternity hospital. I'm not. If they've made up their mind at that stage, you know, well, then let them do whatever they have to do. But I personally think the wrong people are being hurt by this. You know it's not those people that they're targeting. They're not talking about
but
people.
But sure, you can't target anyone if you're just, you know, setting yourself up on a pavement in front of a hospital. There's no targeting to be done there. Everyone is going to be affected.
The horror of abortion isn't affecting them at all. Do you know what I mean? The horror that is abortion, they're letting that go over their heads. And they're focusing in on people who have sick babies, who have had awful negative experiences. It's not those people. Pro-life are very supportive of people like that. Of course they are. But like Karen, I would think, I'm not 100% comfortable with this sort of shock tactic treatment either. I would also agree with her, you know, it's very difficult in this climate to be pro-life. You've had six callers on that are very much pro-choice. You've had, I think I'm the third. Now, I'm just John and Karen.
We're nearly 50-50 now, Majella, I think.
Yeah, well, it's after taking you a while to get to 50-50. We had a plethora. The first five were definitely all vilifying the people standing outside that hospital.
But you have your own issues with the way that process was conducted, do you not?
I just said, I wouldn't be 100% happy about white cottons at all, because I think this shop business doesn't appeal to me at all. But I'm 100% happy with an anti-abortion protest.
And are you 100% happy with an anti-abortion protest at a maternity hospital?
I don't think you can start deciding, unless you want to live in a Russia where people are telling you where to go, what to say and when to do it. I don't think you can start, you know, deciding this nonsense of we're going to have exclusion zones. You might as well forget about it then, really. Do you know what I mean? You might as well forget about it then. I think that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Okay, Des.
Yeah, hi, Katie. Thanks for having me on. I've been listening to the debate. Just a couple of current points I wanted to make. Everybody talks about a democracy, okay? We live in a democracy. And this was offered up to the people, okay, as a referendum, okay? And it passed, okay? That's the right of people to make their choice. If people don't like that, and you cannot like that, and that's absolutely fine, the valid opinion to have. If they don't like it, then they should, you know, negotiate to vote again or represent it to the electorate and see what happens. But the majority of people went for this referendum, and that doesn't make lots of people happy, and that's fine. Second point, people talk about freedom of speech as if it's some exclusive right that absolutely rolls over everybody else's right. Freedom of speech comes with a massive responsibility, and the responsibility is as follows, that if you impinge on the rights of other people, okay, to have an opinion, you are not exercising your right to freedom of speech. You are bullying people, okay? Now, I can see both sides of the situation. I'm a father of two, and you know, I'm really lucky that I'm in that situation. But there are people out there who don't have, you know, a chance with their kids, who are maybe going through really awful situations. It's nobody's business. It's nobody's business. And you cannot, from pro-life or indeed from the other side, say, well, it's my right to freedom of speech and I'm going to go do this and I'm going to use these awful tactics and I'm going to do whatever else it is to make people see my point of view. Freedom of speech comes with responsibility. Okay, that's the second point. And the very, very last point, you know, the pro-life argument, every single pro-life argument I've ever heard never answers the big fundamental question. What are they going to do about the scenarios of unwanted pregnancies? Are they hoping that they're going to get to some situation where 100% of pregnancies worldwide are viable or they're wanted? There's always going to be this issue. So putting coffins outside the National Maternity Hospital is not in any way going to sort it. It's just going to alienate them further. So those are the three points I wanted to make.
Okay, thank you for that, Des. We've taken those points. I want to talk now because Catherine Corliss has come on to us. She wants to... Catherine, are you there?
I am indeed.
Catherine, you called in because you were a bit upset by the comments that John made earlier in relation to tomb burials and perhaps that they might be exaggerated.
Well, exactly. He didn't just say they might be exaggerated. I recall you said that they're grossly exaggerated. Now, I would just like to clarify once again, and I would like to tell John, if it's listening, to look up Google, to Google the Commission of Inquiry into Mother and Baby Homes, the fifth interim report. It's 500 pages. You will get it online and he can glance through it and he will see photographs of the sewage tank in Tuam where the archaeologists went down, and you can see absolutely everything except the little remains which have been naturally enough redacted. But everything is there, the sewage pipes coming in, the whole lot, the little bits and pieces of memorabilia of the some little shoes and bits and pieces. And for anyone to come on after going through this for 6 years, looking for compassion for the Tuam babies, and for someone to come on and say that it's grossly exaggerated, I would just like to ask John to have a look at that, and he might just change his mind, because that is very insulting to all survivors, and the fight that we have had for the last few years with the survivors who have family there. So that is really why I want to just clarify that statement. We're at the point now where the babies will be excavated and exhumed, and hopefully they will be repatriated with their own families where possible. So I just wanted to clarify that, Katie, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
And thank you, Catherine, for getting back to us on that and clarifying that point and clarifying it very well, Catherine. Thank you very much. I want to go now to Charles Byrne. Charles, were you one of the organisers of this protest?
Yes, I was an organiser on Saturday.
Well, can you talk us through then? You heard a lot of our callers there, I'm sure, this afternoon. A lot of people, very, very, even people who would support the pro-life position, saying that they really thought that those white coffins were a step too far.
Well, I'd ask the question: what are we going to do with the bodies of the babies that are killed through abortion? Well, according to the HSE website, they can be flushed down the toilet. So I think it's a bit hypocritical, people talking about Tuam and everything, when we know for a fact that these babies killed in abortion are treated as medical waste.
Can I talk me through the background to the pushing? Where did you get the coffins, Charles?
The coffins actually were used many years ago at a similar protest. And managed to get hold of them. They were in cold storage, you might say.
Okay, so these are protest coffins, basically.
Well, they were used at a similar protest maybe many years ago. But the thing is...
And tell me, when you were discussing putting together this protest, did anybody raise a red flag and say, perhaps this might be very upsetting for... somebody coming in or out of that hospital who has had a miscarriage or who has had some very bad news?
Well, we know it's going to be very upsetting. It should be upsetting.
Is that just collateral damage, Charles?
Are the babies that are killed in abortion?
No, I'm saying
damage?
The people who were upset by the way in which you put together this protest, are you saying that's just something they're going to have to live with? That's just collateral damage because you wanted to make your point.
We want the whole of Ireland to cry. We want the whole of Ireland to be sad and to cry for the unborn that are killed. There's 5,000 dead now this year. Is that good enough? I think we all
Katie,
should be
may
crying.
I come in there?
We should all cry.
Okay,
because these babies have no funeral. They've no one they don't even have a name. They're left in the sewage, in the medical waste. This is a disgrace, a national disgrace.
Des, you wanted to come in.
Yeah, I do. I mean, what Charles is talking about there is just really, really typical of the kind of pro-life view. And let me just get this straight. There's lots of things that, you know, I find difficult about abortion. Lots. But
killing
it is
the
not
baby,
my
is that
right.
Difficult?
Excuse me. Sorry.
Let Des make his point and I let you back
if
in.
You can let me finish, Charles. That'll be because I had the courtesy to listen to you. There's lots of things I find difficult. Okay. Absolutely. But it is not my right to impinge on anybody else's bodily autonomy. I have friends who've gone through really traumatic stuff with their kids or with pregnancies. It is not my right to take their experience away from them or make them feel criminalized. I totally see it's a very emotive subject for pro-life people, and I know it's very difficult for them that Ireland passed the referendum. Well, we've passed the referendum. We live in a democracy. And as I said earlier, the freedom of speech, you have to exercise it with restraint and with respect for other people. If you don't do that, we don't live in a democracy. Using tactics like this only alienates people further. It moves the whole thing from reasonable debate into, you know, the tactics that you see in the United States, which is just totally abhorrent for any democracy.
We'll let Charles back in there. Do you want to respond to that, Charles?
Well, how can we have a reasonable debate about killing innocent human beings? You know, this is a rosary of reparation. Reparation to Almighty God, because every single abortion is a serious sin against the Creator.
Was this essentially
a
religious
sin,
Charles?
It's a national sin, Charles, that we do this.
Okay.
And people will go to hell.
Charles, can I stop you there one second, just to get a handle? Charles, can I just get a handle on what was the basis of the was it a religious vigil?
This is a rosary of reparation. We are turned into
a rosary of reparation. Is that a
because we realise that this is a satanic war? This is a war against the forces of evil, and people who are involved in this are satanic.
Okay.
And this is
a
serious sin. And
I take it none of the people who attended this had an issue with the fact that you were using a baby's coffins to make your.
Well, there was one woman there who lost the baby after one day, and she found it very emotional. But she said that she totally agreed that it had to be done, and she actually found it helped her.
So you had no qualms at all about this particular tactic? Nobody had any qualms that was there about this tactic?
Oh, isn't it sad that we have a national maternity hospital killing babies?
Okay, I'm going to go to Lou. Lou McGovern?
Katie.
You would support the pro-life position?
Absolutely.
And what did you think of the protest?
Well, there's a couple of points I wanted to make. One is, I went to, not to a protest, but to a rally for life. And I think that the protest outside Hollis Street was different altogether and apart from the rally for life. I absolutely abhor that any people would go to a maternity hospital and place white coffins outside it. I'm absolutely, totally and utterly abhorred by that.
Your own story, Lou.
Well, I didn't really want to go into my own story. My own story was that I lost twin babies at almost 27 weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's a terrible loss.
It was a terrible loss. And it's probably one of the reasons why I am so pro-life, because I know the trauma that losing a baby does, and I'm 47 years down the road, and it still affects me.
Of course, yeah.
However, that's all aside. I want to be pro-life. I want women to understand that they should never need to have an abortion. I don't want to force anybody not to have an abortion. I would far prefer that we became a country where every woman could and should have her baby. And no woman should ever be forced into any situation where she has to take her own baby's life.
But what you're saying is there are ways and a means, and what happened in front of Hollis Street was something that
you couldn't
support.
No. I would never. And in actual fact, I would equally be very uncomfortable with standing outside a doctor's surgery in a silent protest, although my understanding is that it's done only when the surgeries are closed.
But would you we've had a bit of a discussion about exclusion zones. Would you support that as a?
No, I wouldn't exclude.
Oh, I'm afraid we've lost Lou there. Charles, could you respond to that there? There's somebody who is obviously very sincere, absolutely holds the pro-life position, but thinks what was happening in front of Hollis Street was completely wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand people want to be nice, and we all want to be nice and get along. And I think this is the problem with the church in the last 40, 50 years, is everyone wants to be nice. No one wants to have proper discussion. No one wants to offend anyone. And, you know, people are just really telling you what they want. They think you want to hear rather than,
I don't think that there was any situation. I don't think Lou was in any way pulling her punches there.
Katie, if I could come in there just on that. Charles talks about a proper discussion. I think in Charles' mind, a proper discussion, how that resides in Charles' mind, is getting, you know, a right-wing fundamentalist point of view across under the guise of religion or under the guise of whatever social construct he wants to put it under. The simple fact is, we had a referendum. This is now in place, and you respect that. You respect
if a referendum
stories.
Brought in paedophilia, would that justify it?
But Charles, let's just be reasonable. Is democracy an absolute? Charles, if you could let me finish.
Can you have a discussion, or can you just throw out like slurs against people? Everyone's right wing if they don't agree with you.
It's not.
Everyone's right wing is extremist.
It's not a slur.
Have a discussion now.
It is not possible.
Answer me. Is democracy an absolute? Can you vote
Charles.
In something that is unjust? Is that possible?
The rules of democracy are. It, unfortunately, and for lots of people, they don't like it, that the majority vote wins, just as our political system.
So the majority
system,
No,
Charles, if you could just listen to the argument, then we could actually have a reasoned debate.
Come on, give me an argument. Give me a proper argument.
The simple fact is, if you cannot get your point across in a reasonable debate without appearing as right-wing or extremists, okay, which is what you'll hear.
Can we talk about ideas?
Can I just cut in there,
Charles, and ask you to respond to what Lou was saying there? Somebody who supports the pro-life position has marched in the Rally for Life, but thought that what happened in front of Holles Street and the use of those coffins was completely wrong. Can you just respond to that for us, Charles?
Well, 5,000 dead. That's my response. 5,000. How many more? How many white coffins we have to see? If we have to carry 5,000 white coffins, we'll do it. Because those babies deserve to be remembered. They are not nothing. They are not trash. They are not just the property of a mother or a doctor. They are the property of God. They are somebody special. They are important. They deserve to live, and they deserve to be remembered. And we will remember them.
Okay, I want to get Lou back on. I think we've got Lou. Are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back with you, Katie. Yeah.
Do you want to just respond back there to Charles and what he was saying in response to your...
You know, Charles, like the rest of us, is entitled to his position. I don't know him, and I respect that he has the right to protest in whatever way he wants to, as long as it's peaceful. And my understanding is that the protest outside Holles Street was peaceful. However, it was absolutely insensitive and inconsiderate. I am sure that there were women in there who were losing their babies, women in there who had lost their babies. Women are hurt by abortion, and they're hurt when they lose their babies. There isn't really a great difference in the effect that either has on a woman. And I really believe that. And I would just love to see a situation where every woman who is pregnant can look forward to a baby. The birth of a baby should never be a bad thing or an unhappy thing.
Okay, we leave it there.
Can I just make one point? To follow on something that Des said. Yes, we did repeal the 8th. That's what we were asked to do. That was the wording, do you repeal the 8th? We were not asked to agree to abortion up to whatever. We're not even sure now what the term is. Uh-huh. It was rushed in. For a minister not to take amendments has created problems, because had that minister taken amendments, there would have been a lot of things trashed out that are now left up. I heard Dr. Keenan O'Donoghue yesterday.
Okay, Lou, I'm going to stop you, because God knows this debate has gone on for a very, very long time and will go on for a long time more. But we're going to have to leave it there for today. I want to thank all my callers on this. We're on 1850 715 815 or joe@rte.ie.